last time on Jerry Terrifying Reads Metal Gear Solid. Solid Snake infiltrated the tank hangar of Shadow Moses Island. A few more guards get killed. I discover I can't do a female Russian accent for a shit. And Snake discovered the elevator. So join me as we read Chapter 6 of Metal Gear Solid. Snake stood in a weaver stance with the SOCOM in both hands, facing the elevator doors as they opened at the first floor basement to an empty hallway that led forward several feet before making a jog to the left. Snake continued to hold the handgun at a readied position as he stepped out of the lift. The first thing that struck him was a damp, musty smell overlying the foul odor of an unclean toilet. He thought that if prisoners were being held on this level, they were either mildewed or asphyxiated by now. A shut steel door with a security keypad was on the right. Snake quickly examined the contraption and knew it was useless to try to hotwire it.
"Snake," Mei Ling said, "we're picking up 3 warm bodies in your area. Check your codec." "We're getting the signal that the DARPA chief is just around the corner from you."
"I see it." Sure enough, a blinking blue light appeared on the level ground plan that automatically appeared on the codec. Snake went further down the hallway to another steel door. It, too, was shut tight with the security keypad. "I'm at the door to the cell block. No luck, guys, unless you have a code for me."
"Not yet. There's got to be another way in. Keep looking."
Snake went to the junction and stopped at the edge. He carefully shot a look around the corner and saw that the rest of the corridor was empty. He moved along, the gun still in hand, but there were no doors. It was a dead end. There was, however, a steel stepladder leaning against the back wall, and another ventilation duct just below the ceiling. "I just found my way in. Don't change channels." He quickly set up the ladder, climbed it to the vent, pried off the grating, laid it inside the duct, and crawled inside. The smell was worse than the shaft. Snake crept forward, and after 10 feet came to an intersection. The shaft kept going straight, but a leg jogged off to the left. Snake consulted the map on the codec. It was difficult to distinguish which path was the one that would lead him to the blinking blue light that was Anderson. He tried the left path first. Snake quietly crept along the metal until he came to another grating in the duct bottom. Looking through it, he had a bird's-eye view of a restroom stall. A guard who appeared to be tall and blonde sat on the toilet with a magazine in his lap. The noises the man's body was making were nearly inhuman. The guard grumbled to himself, belched, and muttered something about last night's curry.
"We hear him, Snake. We're analyzing the voice algorithms just in case it's somebody important,"
Mei Ling announced. Snake checked the indicator light on the codec. It was now apparent that the DARPA Chief Anderson was not situated along the duct path he had taken. Still, it would be useful to know the layout of the level in case he ever had to return. Snake moved on past the restroom grating and came to another one 20 feet beyond. Looking down, he could see a messy office containing a desk overflowing with papers and junk food wrappers, a few dirty magazines, and 3 computer monitors. What particularly caught Snake's eye were the boxes of ammunition and grenades that were on the floor against the wall. He wagered that the office belonged to the man on the toilet.
"He's a low-level guard, Snake. A rookie," Mei Ling said. "He's not simply as Johnny. According to the Shadow Moses personnel records, he's the lead computer technician on base."
"I'd like to get down into his office and poke around." Campbell spoke up. "Remember, your first priority, Snake."
"Don't worry, Colonel. I'm on my way to the other fork."
Snake managed to turn around inside the dock and make his way back to the junction. He took the other path, crawled along for 20 feet, and came to another jog to the left. Just beyond that was a grating in the duct floor. Snake moved to it and peered into the cell below. A young woman dressed in what appeared to be military trousers and a workout bra was busy doing sit-ups on the floor. She had red hair, was thin and lean, and obviously took her exercising very seriously. Meryl Silverberg in the flesh. Snake wondered if he should let her know he was there, but decided against it. First things first, his orders were to find Anderson before he did anything else. Besides, the girl didn't appear to be in any distress. He'd come back for her. He moved on to another grating 10 feet beyond Merrill's. It, too, was directly over a cell, and Snake could see an African-American man with his head in his hands sitting on the decrepit bunk that was fastened to the wall. Snake checked the codec and saw that he was right on target. He pried off the grating, pulled it inside the duct, and dropped down into the cell. DARPA Chief Anderson looked up and gasped.
"I'm a friend," Snake said quietly. "I'm here to get you out."
"Who are you?"
The man looked haggard, much older than his 50-something years. He was dressed in what once had been a nice suit. Bloodstains covered patches of his formerly white shirt.
"My name's not important. You're Anderson, right?"
The man nodded. He stood a little unsteady on his feet.
"Are you all right?"
"I think so. They tortured me."
"Okay, we're leaving this place, but first I need some information. Sit down for a second."
Anderson hesitated and then returned to the bunk.
"What do you want to know?"
"These terrorists. They're threatening a nuclear strike. Are they capable of it?"
"Terrorists?"
"The guys that took over the base and their little army. They've threatened the White House with a nuclear strike unless some demands are met. Can they do it?"
Anderson closed his eyes and nodded.
"I think so. They could launch a nuclear weapon if they really wanted to."
Snake crouched in front of the man so that they could speak softly.
"But I thought Shadow Moses Island was just a nuclear waste facility where you dismantled warheads. How could the terrorists get access to a live one?"
"You're not very informed, are you?"
Anderson said with a smirk.
"That's just a cover story. A nuclear disposal outfit? Yeah, Shadow Moses does that too. But for years, this has really been a government-run arms research and development facility. We've been building a new type of experimental weapon. A damned important weapon, if I say so myself."
Snake could see that the man still had his pride, if not his dignity.
"What do you mean?"
"It's a walking battle tank. It has the ability to launch a nuclear strike from anywhere on Earth. It's mobile."
Snake felt a chill run up his back.
"Metal Gear? It can't be!"
Anderson registered surprise.
"You've heard of Metal Gear? It's our most classified black project. How could you know about it?"
"Let's just say I've had Metal Gear business in the past."
In fact, Metal Gears had been involved in the Outer Heaven and Zanzibar Land incidents in which Snake previously had encountered Big Boss.
"But I thought the project was scrapped. Too dangerous."
"Nope. Arms Tech and DARPA joined forces to perfect the thing. We've been working on it for 3 years, and now it's done."
The man sighed heavily.
"But now the revolutionaries have it."
"Revolutionaries? You mean terrorists?"
Terrorists. They have Rex."
"Rex?"
"Metal Gear Rex, that's the new codename. And it's probably already been armed with a warhead. These guys are pros. They're all experienced in handling and equipping nuclear weapons."
A voice at the cell window startled them both.
"Hey!"
Snake retreated and hugged the wall next to the door. Johnny, the guard from the toilet, appeared at the window.
"Are you talking to yourself again? Shut up!"
Anderson muttered,
"Sorry,"
and looked at the floor. After a moment, Johnny moved away. Snake waited a moment more and then slinked around the cell until he was at the edge of the bunk. They continued the conversation in whispers.
"Are there launch safety measures?"
Snake asked.
"Detonation codes. Failsafe codes."
"Yeah, you mean PAL. There are two different passwords to launch. I know one of the passwords. Baker, the president of Arms Tech, he knows the other password."
Anderson bowed his head sheepishly.
"But they know my password."
"You talked?"
"I said I was tortured. The one with the gas mask, Psycho Mantis. He can read your mind. You can't resist it no matter how hard you try. And believe me, I tried. It's probably a matter of time before they get Baker's password, too. They may already have it."
"Where is Baker?"
"We were together, but they separated us. They moved him somewhere in the second floor basement. I heard the guards say they put him in an area that has a lot of electronic jamming."
"Any other clues?"
"I think they cemented all the entrances, but that was yesterday. I doubt they've painted them yet."
Snake cursed to himself.
"That's great. They probably have both passwords."
"But there's another way to stop the launch."
"Yeah?"
"With card keys. There's three of them. Even without the passwords, you can insert the keys, engage the safety lock."
Terrific. 3 card keys. Now, where are they?
Baker has them.
Then we've got to get to them. Come on, let's get you out of here. Can you walk okay?
Oh, I just thought of something. Anderson stood, reached into his pocket, and removed his wallet. He took out what looked like a credit card and handed it to Snake. This is my ID. It's a PAN card. It'll open any security level 1 door.
I know how it works. Personal area network. Thanks.
Hey, you haven't heard of any other way to disarm the PAL, have you?
What do you mean? I didn't even know there was a Metal Gear here.
Is the White House going to meet the terrorist demands?
Hell if I know. That's their problem. I have my orders in.
What about the Pentagon?
The Pentagon? What are you talking about?
Then you don't know that, Anderson's face suddenly conveyed pain. His eyes bulged in fear as he gasped for air and clutched his chest.
What's wrong? What is it?
The man screamed loudly, panicked, and lunged for Snake. He grabbed hold of Snake's shoulders and tried to speak, but could only fight for breath. Finally, as if an electric shock had gone through his chest, Anderson jerked violently and then collapsed on the floor.
What the hell just happened? Dr. Hunter asked.
I don't know. It looked to me like the chief just had a heart attack.
Check his pulse.
Snake did so.
Nada. He's flatlined. I don't understand it. One minute he was fine. You heard him. And the next...
Forget it, Snake, Campbell said. Better find the Armstech president and fast.
Colonel, what did he mean about the Pentagon? Are you keeping information for me?
No, Snake, but...
But what?
Snake, this op is level red. You know the drill. You need the highest security clearance to be in on the whole story.
And I don't have that? You send me in here to do the dirty work, and I don't know everything I need to survive?
Secretary of Defense Houseman is in operational control. I told you that. I report to him. Come on, we don't have time to sit and argue about it.
Fine. Wait!
He heard sounds of a ruckus in Merrill's cell next door.
She was fighting with someone.
It went on for several seconds, and Snake wondered if he should hurry up into the air duct and help the woman. But then there was a loud frump, and the crash of a body falling against the bunk. Then it was quiet. Snake waited a moment and then heard Merrill's cell door open. He started to climb onto the bunk so that he could slip up into the duct again, but he heard a key card swipe Anderson's door.
Mr. Anderson?
A soft voice whispered. The door opened. Johnny stood there, wearing a mask and pointing a FAMAS at Snake. No, it wasn't Johnny. The feminine voice accused him.
You killed the DARPA chief!
What?
I heard you through the wall.
You killed him!
Snake noticed that the guard's hands were shaking.
He lowered his SOCOM. You ever pointed a gun at anyone before? Your hands are shaking.
Who are you? Merrill Silverberg asked. Snake almost laughed.
Can you shoot me, rookie?
Careful, I'm no rookie.
You've never had to kill anyone, have you? You haven't even taken the safety off, rookie.
The woman pulled the mask down so that she could get a better look at him.
Liquid?
Huh?
No, wait, you're not.
But you look like... Yeah, I know. Come on, let's get out of here, all right? I'm on your side. Your Uncle Roy sent me. What happened to Johnny?
She lowered her rifle.
He got fresh. I left him in my cell. How do I look?
The guard's uniform was a little big on her.
I think you'll pass. I have to get to the second floor basement. Do you know Armstech President Baker?
Yeah.
Then come on.
They stepped out of the cell together, and Snake noticed that Johnny was on the floor of the cell, face down with his ass sticking up in the air. Then he heard the entrance to the cell area slide open. 3 heavily armed genome troopers stormed into the cell block. Merrill immediately whirled to fire the FAMAS, but as Snake had noticed, her safety was on. Snake thought fast and drew the SOCOM. Thwack, thwack, thwack! 3 headshots, and the trio was down.
So, nice work, rookie, Snake said.
Shut up!
The sound of approaching boots gave them no time to jump for cover. 3 more troopers poured through the door, and this time Merrill let loose a volley of noisy spray fire, mowing down the men in seconds. She turned to Snake as if to say, "See there?
Nice shooting, but now everyone in the complex will know we're here."
She ran toward the door and said,
"Come on, I know my way around this place."
"Merrill, wait!"
But she was gone.
What the hell? Where's she going?
Snake followed her out of the cell block and saw her at the end of the hallway, headed for the exit. She turned, aimed the FAMAS at him, and fired another volley of rounds. Snake leaped to the side to avoid being hit, rolled, and cursed aloud. When he sprung back to his feet, she had disappeared.
The crazy woman. Why'd she do that? Snake started to run after her, but suddenly felt disoriented. For a moment, he wasn't sure where he was. Then a searing pain knifed through his head. He staggered and leaned against the wall. He was confused, but had the presence of mind to wonder why there were no bullet holes from Merrill's blast. The wall was completely smooth. Am I imagining things? And then he closed his eyes, and saw DARPA Chief Anderson strapped in a chair, an interrogation lamp shining brightly over his head. Anderson was dead, or has passed out. Snake recognized three figures standing around the poor man. Liquid Snake, Revolver Ocelot, and Psycho Mantis.
He's dead, Ocelot said.
You fool, Liquid grumbled. I told you to be careful. Psycho Mantis replied.
His mental shielding was too strong. We'll never get the detonation codes now.
Wait, sir, Mantis said.
I have an idea.
And the vision dissipated as Snake opened his eyes. He felt the cold steel of the cell block wall against his face. Consciousness returned, and he found that he was standing, hugging the wall. The headache went away as rapidly as it had appeared, and he no longer felt disoriented.
Dr. Hunter.
Yes, Snake?
I don't know. Something weird just happened.
What?
I had some kind of hallucination, and a splitting headache for about a minute, but now it's gone.
After a pause, Dr. Hunter replied, It could be psychometric interference coming from Psycho Mantis. He's probably nearby. What was the hallucination?
Snake shook his head and flung the cobwebs away. Never mind. I'm on my way to the second floor basement. Let's hope Baker's still alive.
And Colonel?
Yes, Snake?
Your niece is one wacky babe.
And that was Chapter 6 of Metal Gear Solid. A lot of action in that one. A lot of action indeed. DARPA Chief mysteriously has a heart attack after explaining Metal Gear's existence? What's going on? What was up with Merrill? What was that hallucination of her shooting in the hallway? And why didn't this book point out that Merrill has a really nice ass and Snake stopped to, you know, get a look? Who knows? Yeah, that was Chapter 6 of Jerry Terrifying Reads, Metal Gear Solid. Stick around for Chapter 7.